You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
Welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, the host here on the KMC, and I'm looking forward to this episode as we talk about building relationships with kids, and not just building relationships, but building your teams with kids, and how by developing relationships with children, you can teach them to serve and get them involved in your local ministries to let them become the body of Christ. You know, most of us in children's ministry get riled up when we hear people describe the children as the church of tomorrow, and we demand that they're the church of today, but yet we're not really building into them for that. And so my guest tonight, as I record this episode, Ryan Slay has, as I have discovered off air, has a very much of a passion for building relationships, but more importantly, about getting kids involved and using their gifts and talents right here, right now, not just in the kids area, but in the adult area. So I know you guys are going to love this episode because it's going to challenge you to start thinking about a bigger picture than just your children's area. But it's also going to challenge you to think about how are you being intentional on building into relationships into the young people, about seeing them for the gifted, talented abilities that they have, that God has equipped them to be, and using them, training them, preparing them. And so, Ryan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome to the KMC.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Like you said, I'm Ryan. I am the producer at a church in Euless, Texas. So I'm not technically in children's ministry, but I produce the weekends and big productions, our services. And that means I hang out in the tech booth and kind of pretend like I'm in charge. I coordinate all of the technical elements that happen in the room and make them all work cohesively, make sure everyone knows what's going on and what's supposed to be happening next, and run a couple of volunteer teams as well that help me in that process.
Well, awesome. Well, like I said, as we were talking off air, I learned a lot about your passion for relationship building, but also about equipping and challenging kids to be active in the church today. And so tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the kids in your church right now, because I think everybody needs to hear this.
Well, it started pretty organically, and it's still pretty organic. We don't really have any type of official program for this. We're kind of looking at some ways we can make it more of a thing, but we had some kids whose parents were involved in the worship ministry, and on nights when we would have rehearsal, or they just didn't want to go to childcare or whatever, and they would be hanging out in the room, they would come kind of hang out by me, and I would just kind of start putting them to work. They would want to start pushing buttons, and I was like, well, okay, if you're going to push a button, push this one and push it when I tell you to. And I started teaching them mainly how to run our lyric slides. It's a pretty intuitive program, and kids are so tech savvy. They started picking it up right away. And so they would be running like the prompter screens for choir rehearsals. And then they started seeing me on a Sunday morning, and they would want to come up in the booth with me. So now I've got a group of kids that will follow me around on a Sunday morning, and they will actually run the slides for me. And they're, you know, closely supervised by my adult volunteers, but I have taught them how to run the prompter slides for the people on stage, run the lyric slides for the people in the congregation. And they are very close to me being able to send them out on their own and just do it by themselves. I actually had an 8-year-old that ran, you know, the entire service last week.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he led the whole congregation with their lyrics for the songs, and he did a really great job with it too.
That is so awesome. So, you know, honestly, I think some of the best things happen organically because God kind of puts it right in front of us and says, here, take this. And so I'm kind of glad that you don't have a system or a program or a plan, that you're just letting it happen, because sometimes I think that's the best way. And I think we program ourselves out of things. And so I think that is so cool, because, you know, you are developing gifts and talents, but you're also building relationships. So let me ask you, why is it important for you to build relationships with these kids? Why did that become such a part of your passion?
You know, for me, it just kind of happened naturally. I think I kind of, in some ways, find it easier to connect with kids. I literally sat at the kids' table at Thanksgiving this year, like on purpose, on my own will. Like, we were hanging out, we were having a good time, grabbed my food and just hung out with them. But I think it's so important that kids have an adult that they can relate to and they can turn to. I know I had those people in my life when I was a kid, and sometimes they were friends of my parents, or sometimes they were small group leaders at youth, but I know the impact that they had on my life. I have one lady who was a small group leader when I was in the youth group, who literally to this day will still come see the shows that I do. I do a lot of theater work, and she still to this day, if I'm in a show, I know at some point she's going to be there. And now she's bringing her teenage daughters with her to see those shows. And I think of the impact that she had on my life. And she poured into me, and she and several other people as well. And I know the difference that that made in my life. And I just think kids, like, being a kid is hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so glad that I didn't have to deal with things like social media, or even just like the testing and all the pressures that they have today. I'm so glad that wasn't a thing when I was their age, because I'm not sure how I would have handled it well. Right. And so I feel like being a kid is just hard, and to have someone that you know is in your corner, that loves you, that supports you, that believes in you, that's your biggest cheerleader, I think that's so important. And I also know there's going to be times, and more so as these kids get older, that they're going to have things that they don't want to go to their parents for, that it's just hard to talk to their parents, or they get in a fight with mom, or that kind of stuff. And for them to have somewhere they can go that is still going to give them trusted biblical advice, mm-hmm. but they know is always on their side, that is going to love them no matter what, that the parents feel comfortable with them going to, mm-hmm. I think that's really important as well. And so I just think if there's any way I could be that person in a kid's life, if I can build that trust and relationship from a young age, I just think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, we know, and I mean, I totally agree with you that the more we show up in a kid's life, in random places, in random times, the more powerful it is, because they do see that you care. They do know that you're available for them. And odds are, when there is a crisis, and if their parents aren't available, or if that relationship's on a rocky ground for a while, then they know, hey, I can go see Ryan, because she shows up. She's there. Mm-hmm. She sees me. She knows me. And I think that's important. How do you make the most of your time when it comes to relationship building? Because obviously, you know, if you're seeing these kids, you know, during rehearsals and stuff, it's a limited amount of time. So, but what are you doing to maximize all of that when it comes to relationship building?
I have found that one of the best ways to foster relationships is working on a project together. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but a lot of that comes from my theater background. The closest relationships I have to this very day were forged at like 3 a.m. painting a stage the night before we open. And that translates to serving and service projects and teaching a kid something. And so I think so many of the relationships I have with kids now are because I have taught them things that I am passionate about, and then I have trusted them with that skill. And I have said, go kid, you've got this, you can do this, you know what you're doing, have at it. You know, I've trained you well, do it, hit the button, you know, pull the lever, whatever you've got to do, make it happen. And so I think anytime you've got some sort of a project, whether that is teaching a kid to run lyric slides or a mission trip that you are on, or a service project, or even, you know, in my world, rehearsing and putting on a production, anything like that is just great for relationship building, because you have an end goal and you're working together. You're mm-hmm. working as a team towards that goal. And then you get to sit back and say, hey, look, we made it happen. We mission accomplished. We did it. Look what we did together as a team. And I think that just really helps when you are building those relationships.
Yeah. Wow. That's some good stuff. Cause, I was talking with another kid ministry leader recently about that idea that oftentimes we have a plan for on Sundays and stuff, but we often are missing opportunities during the week. Just like you said, set building, creating, there are so many opportunities where you could invite and be intentional about inviting other students, kids into a different place and time outside of a Sunday and make the most of it. That is very cool. Tell us a little bit about the theater work that you do, and how do you involve kids in that?
Well, I have been doing theater since I was a little girl, and it's, if I'm not at work, I am probably in rehearsal for some show or another. As soon as we get off, I will head to the theater tonight. So, it's a pretty big part of my life, and there are a lot of kids, in the theater world that work on shows, but then I've also found that I kind of end up roping kids from outside of the theater world into coming a part of that world with me. Currently I've got the Wizard of Oz up, and I've got several kids that I have built those relationships with at church that wanted to join me in that. And so it's been really fun, because you work on a show for, you know, 2 months, and then it's up for several weeks, and it's a very long process from, you know, the initial auditions to closing night. Right. And so you've got this big project that you are working on. And one of the things I love about theater is that this particular show, I've got a 7-year-old, and our oldest actor is probably in their 60s, and they are expected to do the same thing on stage. They're expected to learn their lines, to learn their choreography. They're expected to review it at home. They're expected to show up to call on time. They're expected to be at their entrances in the right costume with the right makeup at the right time. They're expected to reset their props. They have all the exact same responsibilities, no matter what their age is. And so you have a 7-year-old, I've got a ton of teenagers in this show, and I've got seasoned veterans that have literally done this on a professional level for years, but they're all being held to the same standards on stage. And the skill sets that can teach a kid as far as responsibility and how are they going to behave backstage, all of those things are just such incredible skills that they are learning, because they are watching these older actors that they want to be like, and they are watching the way they behave backstage. They're watching the way they do their makeup. They're watching the way that they're resetting their props and all of that kind of stuff. And they're just learning so much. And you've got bonds between teenagers and young adults that are so healthy, because now these teenage girls have someone to look up to, mm-hmm. That is doing what they want to do, you know, and the relationships cross generation gaps in the theater world, like a way that I've never seen outside of that, because you don't separate them. Like even in the church, we have, you know, kids rooms, and then we separate the adults, even the adults in a school, sometimes by age group or by life stage or whatever. Right. And on stage, they're just all there working towards the same goal. Like you're in the same scene with the same actors working towards the same goal. So it's a really, really neat thing that I haven't really found in a ton of other areas outside of the stage.
Interesting. Yeah, and that leads me to start thinking a little off script is that what are some things that you see in that world that should or could be transferred into the church? Because you kind of hinted at some of this, but I'd love for you to help, because I'm hoping our listeners are thinking about this. Okay, I just heard a multi-generational approach outside in the theater world. Now, how can we bring that into church world and make it happen? I'm just curious, what are some of your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of it is not by not separating the different ages. I think you could have kids serving alongside adults and easily. I mean, a kid can hold a door and say, "Welcome to church," just as easily as an adult can. Mm-hmm. And you put a kid on a door, and that's probably going to break some barriers, because it's hard to be grumpy to a child. Like, if you've got someone that's having a bad day, it's really hard to just ignore a kid. But if a kid can walk up and say, "Hi, welcome, I'm glad you're here," there's just some natural barriers that are broken down, you know, by exploiting cuteness. You know, I mean, the kid's cute. Why not teach them to use the gifts that God has given them in order to serve at the church, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, if it's the kids in my booth, or if it's, you know, at a door, or if it's collecting the offering, or whatever it can be, if you can get to a point where it's not a novelty for these kids, it's not, you know, we do a lot with our kids choir, teaching them to actually lead worship. And what we're really working hard at is we don't want it to be a novelty. We don't want it to be, "Oh, it's kids' day at church. Yes. That's cute." We want it to be,
look,
"Hey,
at the little kids."
Yeah, yeah, no, that's not what we're going for. We're going for, "Hey, we're going to teach you how to lead worship." And so we are really, really intentional. My boss is really passionate about this, which I think is one of the reasons he's so supportive of me doing it in the tech booth as well. And he has really worked on, you know, teaching the kids to engage the audience, to do the welcome, to lead our congregation in worship, and not just be cute on stage. It's right. Why are we doing this? Why are you standing here with a microphone in front of a congregation of people? And so to be able to do that on all different areas, whether it's, you know, in a tech booth or on stage or behind a camera, or whatever the case may be, I think there's a lot of value in it. And I think there's a lot of potential in that as well.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I love that. Cause I think that's something that, we, you know, most of us get this, Children's Sunday thing. And so we think, "Oh, let's give them a taste of children's church." But really, we should be showing them a little bit more of raising the bar. We've brought the bar down a little bit, and is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. You've got my brain spinning right now. excuse me. Well, let me ask you, you know, cause obviously you're in touch with where kids are today. Are there other things that you do, or is it just that you're hanging out with kids that's how you stay current and you stay relevant with them? Because I think a lot of adults are one of the reasons that they're scared to dive in as a small group leader or to serve alongside of a kid is because they're just not sure how to talk to them, because the world has changed so much. What do you do to help break that ice, and how do you stay current with kids yourself?
Well, I have 8 nieces and nephews that kind of help me out with that. And they're from like age 6 to like almost a teenager. And they're wigging me out that they're so old right now. But they are on, the older ones are getting old enough to have social media accounts. And so it's kind of fun because I get this glimpse into their world. Mm-hmm. From what they're posting, and we'll video chat and all these things. And I think the key to building relationships with kids, it's the same way you build relationships with adults. You spend time with them. You dig into their world. You ask them what's important to them. And you know, you make like if something is important to a kid, to me, that's going to be the most important thing in my world right at that moment. I've got one little girl. She's actually my boss's daughter, and she's got this thing right now where she collects rocks, and she finds rocks that she thinks are pretty or cool, and she'll give them to people if they're important to her, to say thank you for something. And, you know, you can look at that and say, "Oh, it's a rock." But, you know, when she gives that to me, that's the most important thing in my world right there, because she gave me one of her special rocks. And it's finding out what is important in their world, finding out what they care about. I know, like, a lot of times I'll ask them, if I'm just trying to make conversation with a kid, I'll ask, what's the best thing about being 10 years old? Because that's the, you know, you're always like, how old are you? All that kind of stuff. But if they can tell you what the very best thing about being 10 is, that's going to be what their priority. That's going to be what their focus is at that particular moment. I got that from a photographer blog. The blog is called Humans of New York. And this guy does like street photography of random people that he meets in New York City. And he does these really poignant interviews with people. And whenever there's a kid that he's taking a picture of, the question that he asked is, what's the best part about being in third grade? Or what's the best part about being 10 years old? And the answers that you get are really fascinating because it's going to zone in on what is important in their world right then.
Wow.
And I think you can learn a lot. Another thing I do, I teach teenagers at an acting class at a local theater. And, you know, we always do the name game at the beginning of class, trying to learn everyone's name. And I do the one where you say the name and then you say your favorite something. And then the next person has to remember person one and theirs. And by the time you get to the end of the circle, you know, it's the typical game. But I ask them what their favorite story is. So they tell me their name and they tell me what their favorite story is. And I think you can learn a lot by what they are consuming. Because I tell them it can be anything. It can be a video game. It can be any type of storytelling. If it's a YouTube comedian, or if it's a movie or a book series or a play, a musical, whatever form of story you want, tell me that. And I've gotten some pretty interesting responses, and it's a pretty good indication of what is meaningful in their lives at that moment. They're going to be consuming things that resonate with them. I'm like, okay, why is this resonating with you at this point? I've got one in my class right now that goes for some really dark stuff. And I'm like, that's interesting because she seems very sweet, very bubbly. Yeah. But then the stories that she gravitates to are like super dark. And I'm like, that's an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah.
Right there, and can tell me so much about them on what stories are resonating with them at that particular moment.
Wow. Boy, that is some good, good stuff. And I hope our listeners are paying attention and taking notes, because I think this is stuff that all small group leaders ought to be tuned in on. And if they want to be effective in their small groups and leading their few, man, tuning into that, asking some of those kind of questions, that's powerful. And again, it's showing that you're interested in them as a person. They're known, they're seen, they're heard, and that's what every person needs.
And the other thing is, I'll go back and watch the movie or read the book or whatever, because then that gives me a conversation topic.
Right.
You know, I can go back and say, hey, okay, I watched this one. You're going to have to explain to me why you liked it so much, because I wasn't digging it. Or, oh my goodness, you were right. That's the greatest movie ever. Or, you know, whatever the case may be, but that gives me a conversation topic with him, gives me a connection point if I am struggling to connect with a kid.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think it shows them, again, if you can come back the next week and ask some questions that are intelligent, that you actually did some research, that's pretty impressive to them. And it does win them over. They're like, wow, okay, they cared enough to actually go check this out, rather than, oh, well, that sounds interesting, and never brings it up again. So, wow, that's some good stuff. Well, let me ask you a question. These next two kind of go together, but what are some do's and don'ts when it comes to relationship building with kids and young people?
As far as do's go, like, get on their level. And this is really basic, but I don't mean just figuratively. Like, I physically will get down and look them in the eye. Especially if it's a young kid. It's one thing to look down on them and have a conversation. And it's another thing to get down on my knees, look them in the eye, because it physically says, you are important enough to me that I want to be face to face with you. It communicates their value. It communicates your interest. And that's a super, super basic, simple one. But
that's powerful.
From a communication standpoint, it's really, really helpful. The other thing I would say is be their biggest cheerleader. I have gone to more soccer games and school plays or band recitals, and they are not always the highest quality art. But let me tell you, when a kid sees someone who is not mom and it's not grandma, it's just a random person that they knew from church, I have no obligation to go watch this, you know, fourth grade basketball game where they can barely throw the ball to each other and don't understand what a double dribble is or anything like that. But if I'm there cheering them on, they know good and well that I don't have to be there. And I think it communicates their value and communicates their importance. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to mean, you know, a children's minister cannot go to every kid's basketball game. Totally understand that. But to be, they're going to have so many people tell them that they are not good enough. They get tests back all the time, telling them all the questions they got wrong. Right. They are learning how to be little humans, which means they're being told what they're not supposed to do all the time. And right. If I can come in and just be their cheerleader and tell them that, you know, it doesn't matter what grade you got on that test. It doesn't matter. You know, I am not obligated to tell them how to behave. I'm not obligated to teach them how to spell or anything like that, which means I don't have to tell them when they're wrong. I can tell them that you are important and you are valuable no matter what. Yes. And I know most parents are absolutely communicating that. This is not an indication of that at all, but it's not my responsibility to correct them. It's my responsibility to love them. And so there's a little bit different. I can just be their cheerleader. And it can be the biggest thing. Another thing I love to do with kids is I love to bring them into my world. As much as I like to get into their world, bringing them along in my world is fun. And so one of my favorite things in the world to do is to take kids to see their first show. If they've never seen a live show, like theater show before, you just will rock my world if you will let me take your child to their first show. I will take them to a kid's show. It doesn't matter if it's good or not, but if I can take them there and bring them into my world, like that just makes me so happy. And the kids realize that there is something fun going on there, that this is what I am passionate about. And even if they don't like it near as much as I do, they realize that they are important enough for me to bring them along to something important. And, you know, in a ministry setting, again, a children's minister is not going to be able to do that with every single kid, but a small group leader might be able to do that.
Or, exactly.
You know, it means so much to them to get into their world or to be asked to be a part of your world. I've also found that ice cream is a very good connecting point. I had a little guy at the theater who booked a gig on a national tour one time. And the biggest thing in the world, there's four siblings and only one of them got the role. And I was like, okay, guys, we're all going to get ice cream to celebrate. And we're going to celebrate Jake getting the part, but we're also going to celebrate that his siblings are so excited and so supportive. And you guys are going to hold the fort down while he is off on this tour. And so literally all I did was I bought four 59-cent ice cream cones, and I brought it up to the theater in between rehearsals one day. And it was the biggest deal to them that I would celebrate them, that I was excited for them, that I found that they were important, they were worth my time. And a 59-cent ice cream cone can mean the world.
Yeah. Wow. My goodness, Ryan. I hope that people would start looking at some of this and saying, okay, I can pick one thing and start doing it. Because that's all that matters is we start somewhere. And I think Andy Stanley always said it, you know, you do for a few what you wish you could do for many. And you're right. Yeah, kids pastor can't go and see everybody. But if you empower your small group leaders to get out there and to show up in the lives of kids and their families, I will never forget. And it's what convinced me and sold me exactly on what you just said. I had a young boy in one of my churches who was a hockey player, and he kept talking about hockey. And I'm like, dude, just tell me when you're playing next. So he sent me a couple of games. I said, give me a couple of games. I said, I can't tell you my schedule right off the top of my head right now, but give me a couple of games. And so he gave me a couple games, and there happened to be one that it was just perfect. I didn't have anything on my schedule that day, and the one thing that I did move wasn't that important. And I drove 45 minutes and showed up at this hockey game, and he was out there in warmups, and I let out a yell and called out his name, and he about fell over on the ice. It was hilarious. But his parents were shocked that I showed up. But he was shocked, and I'll tell you, he played this fantastic game, scored a goal, pointed right at me like, that was for you, PT. You know, and it was just, it was this cool moment that, you know, I actually was able to get down there and bang on the glass, you know, and he came over and whacked his stick up there. And I mean, it was just this moment we had of, and we bonded. And it was one of those things that he told the other kids, of course, then all of a sudden now I'm getting theater invites, and choir, which was great because that's what I wanted. And I was able to say, you know, I told kids, you know, hey, I may not make everything and I may not, but somebody's going to, your small group leader, somebody's going to come see you. We're going to get there. And so I think that is really cool. You've challenged us all. I am sure people are going to want to talk more. And so how would people be able to touch base with you and to contact if they have questions or want to bounce some ideas off of you? What would be an easy way to get in touch with you?
My email address is probably the best way for that. It is rslay, like slay a dragon. So RSLAY @firstulis.com. I'm also on all of the social media sites. I'm at slaybell1, again, SLAYBELL. I'm on Instagram and Facebook's just my name, Ryan Slay. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really get on that much. So they might be a little disappointed if they start following me on Twitter. But yeah, all of those ways.
Well, great. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I sure appreciate you giving us a lot of great things to think about, because there was definitely, while you may not be a full-time kids worker, you're doing the ministry in a great way. And so God bless you for doing what you're doing and pouring into young people. I pray that more people catch the vision for this and will be challenged to say, how do I empower my whole team to have that kind of heart for building relationships? Because that's a game changer. If we can build into the lives of kids more like this, that's going to be a game changer.
I agree.
Thanks for coming on the KMC with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.